Good morning. May it please the court. The ultimate issue presented today in this case is whether certain foods sold by appellant at its concession stands should be taxed at the 1% sales tax rate imposed by Section 144.014. The Administrative Hearing Commission concluded that none of the foods sold by appellant qualified for the 1% tax rate on the basis that the concession stands should be treated as separate establishments and therefore failed the gross receipts test, or 80-20 test, imposed by 144.014.2. We believe the Commission arrived at this conclusion erroneously and should not have segregated the concession stands from the theaters in which they reside. There was no citation of authority and for this particular segregation of the theater, or for the concession stands, and the previous practice of the Department of Revenue does not support this either. We have referred to this artificial segregation of the concession stands as the store within a store argument. For reasons not explained in the Commission's decision, it did not go on to analyze whether the foods at issue qualified pursuant to 144.014. Thus, our argument today focuses primarily on the two establishments or store within a store issue that was the basis for the Administrative Hearing Commission's decision.
Can you please address what's raised in and address principally in the state's brief, which is that these items are not purchased for home consumption and therefore they're not like not type of food you can buy with food stamps, and therefore the exception doesn't apply. You don't even get to the issue that the Commission reached.
Sure, I'd be happy to address that. The definition of food adopted by the legislature in this case talks about the products and types of food for which federal food stamps may be redeemed. If you look at the statute immediately preceding 144.014, which deals with the taxation of telecommunications, in this case cellular telecommunications, there is a clear example in that statute of adoption of the federal definitions. In that statute, which is only two sentences long, it provides, in pertinent part, all terms used in this section shall have the same meaning attributed to them by the Federal Mobile Telecommunications Sourcing Act, 4 U.S.C. Section 124, as amended. The legislature could have easily placed a similar incorporation into 144.014. They know how to do it. They didn't do it in this case. And it is our contention that neither products nor types of food implies any sort of geographic restriction on where the foods can be consumed.
But you can only get food stamps for items that are purchased for home consumption. Food stamps are not available to be used for items that are not purchased for home consumption. So when the Missouri statute says food shall include only those products and types of food for which food stamps may be redeemed, why does it not include only those products for which food stamps can be redeemed, which is products purchased for home consumption?
Because if you look at the definition of a product, it's something produced by labor. If you look at the definition of a type, it's a class. It doesn't say, if they could have easily incorporated home consumption if they wanted to do it, either by mentioning
well,
it specifically.
Well, I mean, perhaps they thought they had by incorporating the federal food stamp. You need to go one step further. Why didn't they incorporate it by referring to the Federal Food Stamp Act?
I'm sorry.
Why didn't they incorporate for home consumption when they said we'll define food according to the federal to the Food Stamp Act?
In my opinion, because of the definition of products and the definition of type. They could have done that, and they even reopened the statute 2 years later when they inserted the 80-20 test. So they had a second opportunity to do that if they thought what they did the first time wasn't getting the job done, and they didn't do it then either. So they had a second opportunity to incorporate by reference the federal definition if they didn't think it was
but
being.
Were there prior state cases 2 years ago when they amended it that had interpreted the word food to include things that were not for home consumption or did not include that?
I don't believe, other than rulings of the Department of Revenue, that there have been any cases other than the two that are before you today that have interpreted this particular section.
Can somebody show up and buy popcorn at the movie theater with the food stamps?
The food stamps are not accepted at the theater, and they're not accepted at restaurants and other things that are referred to in the statute. So, you know, there's a separate exemption in Missouri law in 037 for foods that are actually taxed or that are purchased with food stamps. In fact, you cannot participate in the federal food stamp program as a state unless you agree you're not going to impose your sales tax on those foods that are actually purchased with federal food stamps. So that's one of the things they did by not incorporating all the definitions in 2012 was not incorporate the definition, for example, of retail food store. So you, for the federal program, not everybody can accept food stamps. That's exactly right. So that's one of the things. Another thing that wasn't incorporated by not simply incorporating all the definitions.
What is the purpose of the statute then, the Missouri statute? Because it appears what it's trying to do is say that if you buy the kind of foods that you can buy with food stamps in a retail store, such as a grocery store, in another location, that you would be entitled to the lower tax, not free of tax, as things bought with food stamps are, but you'd be entitled to the lower tax. In that context, does it make sense that they're going to define food differently than you do under the Food Stamp Act?
Well, again, we think it's the products and types of food. I think you could go into whether it's, for example, you could buy a bottle of water at a Walmart and they might charge you 50 cents. You could go across the street from the Walmart and at a convenience store, they might charge you $1.79 for that same bottle of water. But if as long as it's a product and type of food right. for which you can redeem food stamps, then the price being charged for it, even the price that Werenberg would charge for that, which is higher yet than the convenience store, shouldn't be relevant as long as it's a product and type of food for which food stamps can be redeemed. So that's our opinion. And again, there's no definition of exactly. So we think basically what happened was the legislature adopted the what, the products and types of food, but they didn't adopt the where, which is retail food stores, and they didn't adopt the who, because this is not a means-tested determination. The richest Missourian or the poorest Missourian gets the benefit of the low food tax rate. If you're buying something that qualifies as food, as long as it meets that definition, then it doesn't matter your income level, it doesn't matter the price that's charged for the food at issue.
So today it's popcorn, tomorrow it's soda pop, swizzles, snow cones. It's the whole panoply of food at the concession stand.
I believe many of the concession foods, as long as they weren't, there are certain foods that are excluded by the federal definition, and that is alcohol, which was erroneously originally included in our claim and has been amended out, tobacco, hot food products, and hot foods for immediate consumption. Those are the items that don't qualify under the definition of food as defined by the legislature in 014.
So the pretzels, the hot dogs wouldn't be included?
We did not include the pretzels or the hot dogs or the pizza and some of the other.
But the M&Ms, the all kinds of different candies, they would be included.
The primary items in the claim were the candy, the fountain sodas, and the popcorn, and certain other smaller items like ice cream that are cold items and are within what we believe is the definition of food as adopted by the General Assembly.
Thank you.
How about nachos?
The nachos, I think, were included, but with a caveat. I think they were bifurcated. I think the hot cheese was not included, and the actual nachos in this case were, you get basically a prepackaged bag of chips, and you get the hot cheese on the side. So they did not package the chips. Those came prepackaged, so you basically got that and some hot cheese on the side.
You're
I believe
almost
that's
running out of time. I'm sorry. Can you address the establishment, the separation issue?
Sure. Basically, there isn't any precedent for what they did as far as the commission's ruling. Two establishments. There, for one thing, the rule of construction is that this is a tax imposition statute. In fact, the Department of Revenue in their brief before the Administrative Hearing Commission admitted that this is a tax imposition statute and it should be strictly construed against the Department of Revenue and in favor of Werenberg. And in this particular case, it seems that the Commission, with no authority for what it did, took the ambiguities in the statute and sort of turned that rule on its head and applied them strictly against Weinberg and in favor of the Department of Revenue. In fact, there's a letter ruling issued by the Department of Revenue, which was made part of the evidence in this case, number 2328, where an applicant had sought a ruling from the Department of Revenue. This was a grocer, and they wanted to know if the sales at their deli counter, salad bar, and meat counter should be treated as sales at the 1% tax rate. In analyzing that, the department concluded that they should be taxed at the low rate, and they said these are just a small part of the applicant's sales, and therefore they qualify. So in order to reach that conclusion, obviously the Department of Revenue looked at the sales throughout the aisles of the grocery store and not just the sales at the deli counter, the salad bar, and the meat counter. And that also begs the question, if you have a situation like a grocery store with all these separate departments and this rule is applied, where do you draw the line? How many establishments is a grocery store?
Does your argument depend on our accepting your view that this is a taxing statute and therefore has to be determined in favor of the taxpayer? Opposing counsel for the state argues that it's an exception to the normal 4% tax rule and therefore should be interpreted in favor of the state. Can you address that and also address whether your argument depends upon our resolution of that issue?
Well, they've changed their argument because, as I said, before the Administrative Hearing Commission, they admitted that this was a tax imposition statute and should be strictly construed in favor of Weinberg and against the Department of Revenue. I think that helps our interpretation, but as I say, this is also inconsistent. There's no statute that says this is a separate establishment. If you look at the dictionary definition of establishment, it talks, and this is one quoted by the AHC, it talks about a place of business or residence with all of its furnishings and equipment. And in this case, all the employees at the theater, including the concession employees, are employees of Weinberg. All the equipment, whether it be popcorn, poppers, or projectors, are Weinberg equipment. All the sales tax returns it filed are under one taxpayer, Weinberg. I see my time is up.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Your Honors. Jeremiah Morgan on behalf of the director. No one goes to the theater to buy food, and certainly not with food stamps. In fact, you can't use, as conceded here, you can't use food stamps at a movie theater. And the issue in this case is whether movie theater popcorn, fountain drinks, and other snacks and the types of food are
the
types.
Consumption is probably higher, at the revenue is probably higher at the concession stand than it is at the ticket counter.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I don't know that for certain, but they certainly make more of the money out of the concessions than they do out of the tickets, out of the sales of at the theater. So, the issue I wanted to address to begin with is this is not just any reference in the Missouri statute. They specifically says, the legislature specifically says, that it is the type of food for which food stamps may be redeemed pursuant to the provisions of the federal food stamp program as contained in 7 U.S.C. section 2012.
When you take the full service grocery store analysis, you can either buy the hand at the deli counter, you can buy it at the package, but either way you can clearly use your food stamps to buy the ham at the full service grocery store.
At the grocery store, you can buy ham with food stamps, to be sure.
So the store and the store thing really isn't a fair comparison when we're looking at grocery stores as opposed to the theater with concession stand, is it?
Yeah, it's not a fair comparison between those two. And I will confess that is the secondary argument. We don't even get to that argument before we establish, are these the types of food for which food stamps may be redeemed? And they're simply not, because it does, in response to your questions, Justice, it does absolutely incorporate the federal statute and the federal definitions. It specifically references that provision, and that provision, 2012, is a definitional provision. And even if it doesn't say specifically, we use the definition of food in that provision, that's the only definition of the food that exists in that statute. And if we
but
even...
But if it's the definition is typically sold for home consumption, and I go to the local grocery store and I buy popcorn or potato chips or or any Swizzles or whatever they have, I can use my food stamps.
That's true. You can buy popcorn at a store, but the popcorn you purchase at the movie theaters is completely different than the kind of popcorn you can buy at the store. And in fact, the way it's packaged, the way it's presented, is not for home consumption. So my first point on this is, as a finding of fact, the commission actually found, and I quote, the commission found, quote, food was not intended to be consumed at home.
And there's no contention here that people go to the movie theater to buy food for home consumption.
No.
Nor could there be. The question is it required that it be for home consumption?
Yeah. I don't think there's any question that, you know, they don't sell popcorn at the exits so you can take it home. They sell it at the entrances. It's intended for that food, that popcorn, soda fountains, drinks, and so forth, to be eaten while you're at the movie theater. The question then, getting back to your question, is that the standard that we use? Is that the standard? And if the only standard we use is what was mentioned, that is the definition of product and food, then the language that the legislature incorporated into that statute that says, pursuant to the provisions of the federal food stamp program as contained in 7 U.S.C. section 2012 would be totally meaningless.
Now, your opponent argues that the AHC actually found that they were two separate establishments and therefore the 80-20 rule didn't apply. Under your argument, do we even get to that position?
No, we wouldn't even get to that position. This is a prerequisite to even getting to that. Now, because this is a very narrow, and I would call it an exception, I'll get to that in a second, exception to the rule, it has to be qualifying food, and then even qualifying food, if it's more than 80% is prepared for immediate consumption, then it doesn't qualify.
Well, then, so, did the AHC reach the right result for the wrong reason?
And I can argue about establishment, but certainly they reached the right result, and they could have reached it as on this preliminary matter, and that is that this is not the type of foods for which food stamps may be redeemed. Now, in addition to that, they concluded, or the commission didn't address that issue. We spent most of our brief before the commission on that issue. And that is movie theater popcorn and fountain drinks, are these the type of foods for which food stamps may be redeemed?
Is there any place that talks? I mean, you're making the argument that popcorn is not a type of food; it's the packaging of the popcorn that defines it by type. I think, wouldn't most people say popcorn is popcorn? Whether I buy it at a movie theater or I buy it at a grocery store, it's popcorn. And the type of food is the food itself, not the packaging around it.
No, I don't think that's the answer, because it's the totality of what is being presented to the customer. And the popcorn at a movie theater is very different than popcorn you get at a store.
Just because it's popped already with butter on it?
Not just that. It's put in a container that's an open container. You can go then refill it at the movie theater.
I put it in an open container at home when I pop it.
Well, sure, but when you purchase it at the store, it's not. It's presented in a way. It's in a box or in a microwave.
It's made already. I mean, I go to my local grocery store. It's already made. It's in a bag. I can take it to the office and take the popcorn out. Don't have to do anything to it. And eat it. It's the same as it is in the theater.
But you're saying no,
it's not the same as it is in the theater. Some of it is prepared that way, but it's in sealed bags that you can then take home.
You're saying whether or not it's for home consumption, the same product may be intended for home consumption or for immediate consumption, depending upon how it's packaged. Like in a restaurant, you can buy ham. In a grocery store, you can buy ham.
Yeah.
It's for immediate consumption when you're ordering it to eat. Then it's not when you're buying it to go home and cook.
Right. It's not just the basic... getting down to the basic nutrient level, like beef, for example.
In what you're talking about there is not the type of... I mean, we have the definition one that talks about the type of food. Mm-hmm. Then we have the prepared for immediate consumption at the place. Now, there we're talking about... It's very clear your popcorn at the movie theater is for immediate consumption.
Sure.
In the movie theater.
Yes.
So isn't that the differentiation, not the type, that you're trying to say because I prepare it differently? Here we have the same type of food. Popcorn's popcorn. Soda's candy's candy. But it's for immediate consumption, not consumption at home.
No, those are two separate provisions in the statute.
The first one is aren't you merging the second definition into the first so you don't have to worry about the second definition?
No, I'm not trying to merge those two. On the first provision, which is this the type of food for which food stamps may be redeemed? We're incorporating the federal definition in that, and that is the part that says it has to be for home consumption, which is completely distinct from for prepared for immediate consumption. That's the second part of the test. But as evidenced by the plain language of the statute, which incorporates specifically.
But isn't the definition typically sold for home consumption? Doesn't necessarily mean home consumption. That's typically sold for home consumption.
Okay. The Missouri statute says the types of food for which food stamps may be redeemed, and then the federal statute defines food as for home consumption. So it's true that popcorn can be purchased, as can ham, as can most food items be purchased at the supermarket. But the way that they're presented, the way that they are purchased at a movie theater, is not for home consumption. You can't.
Well, there's soda has a top on it, and they offer free refills. Of course, I take advantage of all the free refills. And when I leave, no one says, keep that soda here. I take it home. I might drink it for another 2 days. I mean, it's got a top on it. I might put it.
I don't know about that, Judge.
I bought it. I paid for it. I don't
sure. Yes. You might not enjoy it after 2 days, but it's certainly true that it's possible that you can walk away from a theater and take it. But
possible. I mean, you do it all the time.
Yeah, and maybe some people do. And in fact, there are findings of fact. The conclusions, findings of fact that the commission made on this, and that is the commission found that the evidence showed that the items were consumed at the theater. And it's not, and again, it's not, could you take it out and eventually eat it at home or drink it at home, 2 days later? No, the issue is this for home consumption? And the way it's presented, the way it's packaged, the way it's sold to customers, it's not for home consumption.
If the home consumption is included in the definition of food at the front end, under the food stamp argument, then why does Missouri have that second definition, the exclusion for food that's not for immediate preparation, the 80-20 test? Why do we have a dual test if that wipes it out already? Wouldn't that wipe out the 80-20 test?
No, it wouldn't wipe out the...
Why do I need that if the definition of food is already only for home consumption?
Because there are foods that... that compare up, and that would be you could buy at a restaurant that would be for home consumption, and that second part of the test raises the threshold so that if 80% of what you're selling is in fact prepared for immediate consumption, that even if it qualifies, even if it's the type of food that qualifies, and we'll see this in the second case, donuts are the type of food that qualify for home consumption.
But you're like a takeout restaurant. The fact if you have less than 20%.
Yeah,
if
if you reach that threshold of 80%, right. If they're qualifying food, they don't get the exception because you've reached that threshold. So it's a necessary part.
And the whole idea is we want people using food stamps buying it at the place where they get it the cheapest. We don't want them using their food stamps to go out to eat.
Right. Which gets us to the not only does the plain language support affirming the commission's decision, but the statutory structure and the purpose of this, food stamps are intended to be for basic nutrition, staple foods, and movie theater popcorn is just not that. I mean, popcorn may be considered in its raw form a basic staple food, but when you go to the movie theater, no one ever envisions that somebody is going to go there and shop for their home consumption.
And you're saying similarly, because of course we've said you can't use food stamps, but you're saying similarly Missouri wanted to limit the sales tax on basic foods that it wanted to make sure its citizens could afford to buy, and that might not include movie popcorn.
Yeah, and I think that's evident by not only there is an exception for food stamps, they want to reduce or take away the tax that people that are buying with food stamps or the types of food, basic staples, that they don't have to pay that kind of tax. And so we not only see an exception in 144.037, but we also see this reduced tax rate for the types of foods which will be purchased with food stamps. And if the test is at its core, is it meat or is it a grain? You know, almost everything we eat has corn in it in some form or another. So that's not the test. It has to include really more than just at its core, what is this? Is this a grain or is this? It's more than that. And I would say, this stealing a First Amendment sort of analysis, I would say you have to look at the time, place, and manner in which that food is delivered.
Now, maybe Judge Fisher's rationale is correct, and it often is, that the reason for the grocery store is it's cheaper, and you want people to buy things less expensive. But the nutrition argument, I don't see that. I mean, if they wanted to scan the nutritional elements of food and say this qualifies for food stamp or not, they could actually do that mechanically. Yeah. But I mean, if I wanted to buy a cart full of candy for Halloween to hand out to the kids,
right,
I could use food stamps for it. There's nothing saying I couldn't.
And I confess that it is a rough test. I mean, there's no doubt that this is it to some extent a rough test. It says the types of food for which food stamps are redeemed. And then it goes through and gives some exceptions. And so in that sense, there are certainly things at the supermarket that can be purchased with food stamps that are not healthy foods. There's no doubt about that. But we have clearly crossed the line.
A huge amount of food at grocery stores are sold that are not healthy.
Sure. Soda is really fundamentally not healthy for you. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are not. But the question here is movie theater popcorn the type of food for which food stamps may be redeemed? And it's not. I didn't get a chance to say also, in addition to this, it would be excluded as, popcorn would be excluded as hot foods for immediate consumption as well. Now, what's interesting is that they have used the federal definition in this. They've complied with it because that is part of the federal test. It says home consumption also excludes, and hot foods or hot food products. They've already excluded that. So they've already used the federal definition themselves, but now they're claiming that the federal definition should not be applied in this case. I didn't get a chance to talk about the exception, but this 1% tax, this reduced tax, really is in the nature of an exception. Otherwise, we would not see a company like Werenberg or we'll see others who are trying to get into the tax as opposed to get out of the tax. For these reasons, Your Honors, we ask that the director we ask that this court affirm the commission's decision, which in turn affirms the director's decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Well, isn't my popcorn at the theater is generally not hot, but it's intended to be hot. They have a machine there that cooks it up and stuff. Isn't that hot food?
Actually, in the record, the testimony of the concession director was that it was not the intention of Werenberg to serve hot popcorn, but rather fresh and crisp popcorn. And there's no advertising in the theater, either on the packaging or anywhere else in the theater, that suggests hot popcorn.
So why do you exclude hot foods from your claim for a lower tax?
Because those are products and types of food for which you cannot redeem federal food stamps. That is part of the federal definition, but it's the part that...
You skip over the words for home consumption, which come between any food or food product and but excluding hot foods. To get to that, though, don't you?
Just looking at the definition of product and type, it doesn't...
Me too.
Pardon?
But why is the hot foods part of the product or type, but not the for home consumption part of the product or type?
Because a hot food is a type of product. It's a product you can redeem food stamps for.
What? They help me out.
I don't think home consumption is a product or type of food, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You know, it says their argument, if I understand it, is any food means any food or food product for home consumption.
That is indeed their argument.
Well, and that's what the code says, right?
That's what the federal definition says. Our code just says products and types of food for which federal food stamps may be redeemed.
So is that a reference to the federal? Oh, I'm sorry, Judge.
No, that's fine.
Was there a reference to the federal Does that include then the federal definition when it said for which federal food stamps could be redeemed?
Again, we think it includes the what or the products and types, but not the where or the who. And
but
again,
you don't even get to the except until you decide it's a food or food product for home consumption. And then it says except alcohol, tobacco, and hot foods. So you first have to be a food or food product for home consumption to even have a chance of qualifying. And then you don't even get to that issue of whether it's hot or not until you first find it's a food or food product for home consumption.
In our opinion, that's not what the legislature intended to adopt. They had products and types of food. And it was also mentioned staple foods. I just want to point out it would be in a grocery store environment, but I can walk in and buy a lobster tail or I can buy a prime filet mignon, and I'm still going to get the low tax rate. This is not based upon, you know, the cost of the items that are being purchased.
What about this issue of is it really a tax or is it an exemption?
I'm sorry, one more time, please.
What about this issue about whether or not it's, when we're reviewing it, if there's any ambiguity, are we reviewing it like it's a tax or are we reviewing it like it's an exception?
Well, the statute itself says, notwithstanding any other statute, a tax is hereby imposed on this at the rate of 1%. I mean, it seems to me directly in the statute itself, it says it's a tax imposition
but
statute.
But when you read it in the context of the other tax on food at 4%, it functions as an exception, doesn't it? I mean, we shouldn't ignore reality.
We don't think it does. I mean, it's a different rate of tax. It's just a different tax imposition statute. There is an exemption for food actually purchased with food stamps. That's not taxed at all.
Let's say next year they raise this tax to 6%. Are you still going to try to get taxed the same way? Because it'd still be a tax.
It would seem to me that if it's food that, yeah, it would still fall under the same category. I mean, if you guys decide that's what it is, then we're going to be stuck with that if the rate goes up.
Thank you.